Young Turk's gigantic show ahead. Later in this hour, he did it. I believe there is clear evidence that I should amend that. Clear evidence to me, and a connection that has not been made that I will make about Trump and the Russians later today. You might have seen the story about how the former founder of Blackwater, current founder, he just changed his name, did a secret meeting with the Russians on behalf of Trump. That story is more relevant than people realize. So I will lay it out for you. I think that is of gigantic importance. I think that will determine whether Trump stays in office or not. I'm going to do that in the second segment of this hour. I'm going to also give you the true face of the Republican Party in this hour. In the next hour, how Trump is making America Mexicans again. He's literally turning some of his voters into Mexicans. You're going to be thinking, no, come on. Like, do you mean deporting people? No, no. Hold for it, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Good old fashioned Americans, white Trump voters are going to be Mexicans because of Trump. Okay, you'll see. You'll see. And then the most unpopular piece of legislation that Republicans and Trump have championed, we have it in the second hour for you. It is stunning how unpopular it is. Which one is it? Well, that's why it's called a tease, guys. It's in the second hour. You got to watch it to find out. Okay? Or by the way, become a member. Watch the show anytime you like at tytnetwork.com/join. Okay. All right, let's move forward. Now, let me start with good news. It's the only good news I have today, and I'm going to give it to you right from the get-go, okay? Hey, look at this. Progressives in Congress actually doing something wonderful. Now, progressives doing it is not surprising, but progressive Democrats, they're Democrats and they're doing something positive. Wonderful, wonderful. So it's unsurprising that it is, of course, the most progressive people in Congress. Whether they'll get a pass, of course, is a different question. But you know, recently Bernie Sanders in the Senate and John Conyers in the House have championed Medicare for All. I know Just Democrats has pushed for that and now gotten 12 new Democrats to sign up for it in the House, which is fantastic. John Conyers, very nice of him, has thanked the Just Democrats and brand new Congress and then National Nurses Union for helping with that drive. So that's great. It's got good momentum, and of course all the Democrats should sign on. There's still 109 Democrats in the House that mysteriously have not signed up for Medicare for All. But the new proposal is college for all. Okay, I'm listening. So let's go to a description here of what this is. They explain that two of the upper chambers, Senate's of course, most liberal members, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, along with Representatives Keith Ellison and Pramila Jayapal from Washington, have jointly introduced a bill that would aim to make college more affordable for more Americans. A, awesome. B, it's unsurprisingly called the College for All Act. C, it could easily be called the American Dream Act, because that's what the American Dream is, that you could start at any position. We don't have castes here, we don't have royalty here, we don't have lords and barons, although there was a guy pretending to be John Barron who's now in the White House. Anyway, what we have is the American dream, that anybody can start at any level and actually advance up. And of course, the great equalizer is education. So what these progressives are proposing is, let's give it to the Americans. Let's let them live the American dream. If you're born poor, it doesn't matter, by the way, in this case, if you're black or you're white or you're Latino, Asian, it doesn't matter at all. This isn't about any of that. This is about, hey, if you can't afford a college education, we're going to provide one for you because we believe in the American dream. So as part of the proposed legislation, students of families earning less than $125,000 a year would have free public tuition. Now look, could it be bigger and better and bolder? Yes, I think Bernie Sanders' proposal during the primaries was slightly bigger and bolder. But is this a good place to start? It's a wonderful place to start. So if you're poor or middle class in America, making $125,000 or less, finally your kids get the same chance as anybody else. Right now they're either going to be buried in debt or they're not going to be able to go to school, whereas wealthy Americans can send their kids anywhere they want. That isn't what this country is supposed to be about. We're all supposed to have equality of opportunity, not result. So here are progressives, as usual, fighting for the core of America, equality of opportunity. Why shouldn't your kids have the same chance as anybody else's kids? So one other thing that it would do is it would cap tuition repayment at 12.5% and forgive all direct loans after 15 years instead of 20. So of course, the people that will be fighting it will be the bankers and the Republican Party in their great might. And of course, a lot of the corporate Democrats, who a lot of them won't even pretend to be in favor of it, they will say, oh, it is not practical or pragmatic. While we're spending trillions of dollars and throwing a lot of that in the garbage in defense spending, so-called defense spending, which is actually offensive spending, where we go and bomb countries that have nothing to do with us, that they always find feasible and realistic, not only the Republicans, but a lot of the corporate Democrats. But when it comes to your kids and them having an equal chance, I guarantee you a big chunk of the Democratic Party is also going to say, well, this is not the time. No, we're supposed to be in the middle of resisting Trump. Well, how is this? This is a great way to resist him, by actually showing an alternative, a positive vision for America. We'll get to it right after Russia. So look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope every Democrat in the House and the Senate sign up for this. There's no reason in the world they shouldn't. And it would give them not only great progressive policy to champion, which is what they're supposed to be there for in the first place, it would also help them politically, because you'd be on the side of all Americans who actually want their kids to have a decent and fair shot. Will they do it? I guarantee you none of the Republicans will, because they don't care about your kids. They don't like the American dream. They want to burn the bridge right after they cross it. If you don't believe me, you'll see. They'll all, if it's introduced, meaning if it gets a vote, one, the Republicans won't even allow a vote on it. If they did allow a vote on it, they will all uniformly vote against it, because they hate the American dream. They don't want your kids to have it. They already have the money and the power. And they work for their donors, who have even more money and power. And some of the Democrats, perhaps a lot of the Democrats, will hem and haw, but not mind so much when it doesn't pass, because their donors are not interested either. But true progressives will fight for something like College for All Act, and that is why they are among the most popular politicians in the country. That's why Bernie Sanders is now the single most popular politician in the country, nearly doubling the president's approval rating. It's not that complicated. The corporate Democrats will tell you that it is. They'll say, oh my God, golly gee, there's nothing we could do, and we shouldn't even fight for our own positions. But the reality is, if you fought for this, it would be great for you politically, and it would also be great for the country policy-wise, and for our kids and for our future. I know someone who, I know an organization that'll fight for it. That's JusticeDemocrats.com. And I certainly know four people fighting for it right now, and that's the American Dream Team that you're looking at right there. Okay. Let's move forward. That was, by the way, the good news. All right. Now, let me show you what the Republican Party is all about. So Donald Trump, every once in a while, will pretend to care about women's issues. He'll tell you, oh, nobody respects women more than I do. I'm the best. I respect women bigly. I'm tremendous at respecting women. Then he'll trot out Ivanka Trump or Melania Trump to do some photo op. Now, what does he actually think? Well, that's in his actions, so I'm going to tell you all about that now. First, Huffington Post explains, days after Melania Trump presented Courage Awards to 13 women working for gender equity around the globe, that sounds great, President Donald Trump's administration halted all US grants to the United Nations Population Fund, an international humanitarian aid organization that provides reproductive health care and works to end child marriage and female genital cutting in more than 150 countries. So on the one hand, he sends Melania to go take pictures going, oh, we're all for women. And immediately thereafter, on the other hand, he goes, cut the funding for women. Maternal care, who cares? Their babies die sometimes, not my problem. You think that's an exaggeration? No, you're going to see exactly what this program does in a second. Female genital mutilation. Look, that's why some people in the world still love and respect America, because we fight against that stuff. And we help people get to a better place. Now, because of Donald Trump, no, now we're cutting that funding. So you only get to see the ugly America, you don't see the great parts of America that was helping the world throughout. All right, so let me explain further. The State Department invoked the 1985 Kemp-Kasten Amendment, that's of course Trump's State Department, which he said will ensure that US taxpayer dollars do not fund organizations or programs that support or participate in the management of a program of coercive abortion or involuntary sterilization. Now, you might think, well, I think I remember something like this before. You're actually thinking of probably a different program if you are. It's called the Global Gag Rule. This is not that. This organization doesn't do any of that. They just made it up. They said, no, I'm going to say it's about abortion, but it doesn't, but it has nothing to do with it. The UNFPA, this organization, does not provide or promote abortions. It has nothing to do with abortions, nothing at all. So back during the Bush administration, they used that excuse to cut funding for this program because they said, well, okay, fine, it doesn't do any abortions. That's absolutely true. But it works with China and it sends some money for healthcare in China. Wait, that sounds pretty good, right? They're like, no, since China has the one child policy, we're going to say that that is helping indirectly involuntary sterilization. So all this money that's going to this wonderful set of causes gone, because in one out of the 150 countries, it might indirectly lead to other things. But you know what happened? So they stopped that. So right now, it doesn't go to China. There are no funds that go to China. Doesn't mean that they don't work with China at all, but what they did in the past is in directing healthcare dollars to China, it just doesn't do anymore. So the organization is like, well, we don't, why are you using this amendment that has nothing to do with us? We don't do abortion and we don't have anything new with China anymore. Who cares? I want to save some money. And it costs women all across the world. What do I care? I already got my photo op. If you didn't get the memo, the Republicans and Donald Trump don't give a damn about women. Let me give you more details. The organization works in China to make reproductive health program voluntary and rights-based and has advocated against the country's one-child policy. The Trump administration did not explain exactly how it determined that UNFPA violated any US law. So they're like, yeah, you're a good point. They don't really give the money to Chinese government and they're actually against the one child policy. I want to cut it anyway. So Trump's move will pull $76 million from this organization. Okay, now let me tell you the consequences. In 2016, the funding, overall funding for the group, provided access to contraceptives to 800,000 people around the world and prevented an estimated 100,000 unsafe abortions and 10,000 maternal deaths, according to the organization. Now, we don't control all the funding for the group, so it's the whole group is not gone, it's not wiped off the face of the earth. They will still do some of that good work, but they'll be able to do less of it. So now, thanks to Donald Trump and the Republicans, there will be 800,000 people who have to be more concerned that they're not going to have access to those things. But you think, but you see, for Republicans, they're like, oh, you don't have access to contraception. Great. I don't want you to have access to contraception. I want you to have all sorts of babies. They're born in safe, unsafe conditions. I don't care. I don't care. Oh, this organization saves 10,000 mothers' lives during pregnancies. Well, some of you will die during those pregnancies. I don't care, I'm cutting the funding. Look, you don't have to take my word for it. The proof is in the pudding. They're cutting the funding. They're saying this organization that helps save women's lives don't care, we're going to cut it. Okay. Now, one small example out of many that you can give for what the work that they do. At the Zaatari refugee camp in Jordan, for instance, the UNFPA supported health providers have managed to deliver more than 7,000 babies without a single maternal death. Now, that is a hell of a thing to be able to pull off in a refugee camp. You know what those people are that do that work? If you're a Christian, you'd say they do God's work. The other thing you'd say is that they're pro-life. They save those women's lives, they save the babies' lives. But now you cut the funding, there's not as many healthcare workers, there's not as many doctors. And you'll have more death. But that's okay, Melania Trump went and had a great photo op. Ivanka says she's for women and that we should trust Donald Trump. Now understand what the Republicans are actually about. This is what they're about. Now This is not the only thing he's done. Let me refer back to that gag rule. Earlier this year, Trump also reinstated the global gag rule, a federal ban on US funding for any international health organization that even counsels women on safe abortions. The rule affects $9.5 billion in US global health funding to organizations working on AIDS, malaria, and maternal child health. So that those organizations that were affected by that funding do actually counsel on safe abortions. You counsel on it? No, you talked in the way that we did not agree with. You did not practice political correctness. There goes your money. So if you're working on AIDS, that has nothing to do with even counseling on abortion, doesn't matter. Malaria, doesn't matter. Go ahead and die. We don't give a damn. We're Republicans. So if you're a Republican, you're really offended by that? Okay, well then prove otherwise. Prove that they didn't cut the funding. Prove that they actually care about female genital mutilation, AIDS, women's contraception issues, women's health, maternal health. You can't prove it because every time they come in, they cut those programs because they don't care about those things. Sarah Sipple, who's the president for Center for Health and Gender Equity, says Trump's refusal to invest in strong, healthy, and empowered women and girls will jeopardize families, dismantle communities, and will kill women. In this case, when it comes to this funding, that is literal. A certain percentage of those women will die because they never got the healthcare professionals that could have been there for them. And for all of the demagoguery that the right wing does about the United Nations, you know what the United Nations also does? It saves little babies while you're not looking. Now, you know, you don't know what's going on in that refugee camp, let alone the hundreds of other places they work in the world. You don't see that. But while you're sitting comfortably at home, they're working so hard to save those lives all throughout the world. And how do we repay them? Now we told them America is not grateful, America is not merciful, America is not benevolent, and nor anywhere near exceptional. America is cruel and doesn't care about women or these health issues. That's the message we just sent them. And by the way, it's not just Trump. Almost every Republican does this. Mike Pence is ecstatic about this. The Republicans systematically are barbaric towards women. You don't like it? It's not my problem. I didn't do it. Your Republicans did it. They did it every time, and they're doing it today. And if you vote for a Republican, that's what you're voting for. So don't pretend that you're pro-women or that you care if you vote for a Republican, because this is what they do. This is who they are. It was I got interviewed somewhere on ABC, and that came out today online. And for whatever reason, I don't even remember what I said. There were some people who looked at it and thought, I'm sure I talked about the Justice Democrats. He's like, oh, Cenk is actually an agent for the Republicans. I got a funny way of showing it. Okay. Anyway, now let me continue to decimate them because that is what they have called for and that is what they deserve. Okay. Now let's go to health. Just when you thought the ridiculous healthcare proposals of the Republicans were dead, they're back. It's like a zombie you can't quite kill. So there's a new deal, and the deal basically says, all right, we're going to put the so-called moderate Republicans. There are no moderate Republicans. They're right-wing Republicans and extreme right-wing Republicans. The ones that the papers today, and it drives me crazy how often they refer to them as moderate or centrist. Those right-wing Republicans in the Tuesday group, for example, they're already in favor of a draconian health care bill that would get rid of Obamacare and have 24 million people lose their health insurance. But those are the moderate Republicans. Now the extreme right wingers that are in the Freedom Caucus, etc., they go, not good enough, not good enough, we want to cut deeper. And apparently the deal that they are in the middle of striking, the White House had the Tuesday group over on Monday to talk this through, this compromise idea through. And it looks like the Freedom Caucus might be in favor of it. We'll see, it's not done yet. But this is the direction that they're going, which is, well, the so-called Freedom Caucus hates that Obamacare got rid of the ability to deny people with pre-existing conditions or charge them a lot more. They're like, we wanted to crush those people with pre-existing conditions, so they demand it. Well, the Tuesday group, that is the just the plain old right-wing Republicans, says, no, I might lose elections in Pennsylvania and other places if we're that cruel and barbaric. So they can't, the compromise apparently is, we'll let the states decide. So if you live in a red state, we will cut all of those provisions and you'll be even worse shape and you, more people will lose health care insurance. It'll become less affordable for anyone who's actually sick. And if you live in a blue state, well, maybe you're lucky, maybe you get to keep it. Now let's now dive into the details and see if they can make this happen and see, and I want you to know what the Republicans got cooking for you. So the deal would, quote, hinge on Republicans accepting changes to their health care bill that would violate a key promise from President Donald Trump, namely that insurers would have to offer plans to people with pre-existing conditions. So Trump told you, oh, no, no, don't worry about people with pre-existing conditions, we're going to cover you. Now they're saying, ah, as usual, we were lying. Turns out, not necessarily. So the House bill would now allow states to opt out of community rating regulations, which compel insurers to offer plans at the same rate for sick people. Now, if you're in the weeds on this story and you keep seeing community rating, basically what that says is, just as they explain here, that allows you to offer the same rate for sick people and healthy people. Now, that's kind of how insurance is supposed to work. So Paul Ryan apparently doesn't understand that. He did that famous pie chart. He's like, well, look at this, the healthy people, it turns out, are paying for the sick people. Yeah, because we don't know who's going to be healthy and who's sick. That's why we all get insurance. If I thought I was going to be healthy for 50 years, of course I wouldn't get insurance because I wouldn't need it. That's the whole point of insurance, is that we pull the money together in case some of us get sick. They don't seem to understand the concept. Now, the Republicans say, no, no, no. In this current version, we do understand the concept. We just don't give a damn about the sick. Just don't care. And I have a quote for you too. So first, let's keep explaining why they don't care about it and how they don't care about the sick. Ditching those protections would let insurers charge exorbitant rates for people with pre-existing conditions, while also offering plans that don't offer key services like maternity care, hospitalization, or lab services. Oh, okay. So basically, if you're young and healthy, or you're super rich and you don't care, you're going to be okay because you can get any kind of insurance you want if you're rich, or if you're young and healthy, we'll keep your premiums a little low. Oh, you got any kind of problems? You got breast cancer? You have a heart condition? I can charge you anything I want. Well, I can't afford it then. Yeah, so what? Bootstraps. I don't care. That is the Republican position. So yeah, of course you're going to have to pay higher. Oh, you want maternity care? What do you think we are, pro-life? No, I don't give a damn what happens to you and your baby. The minute it's born, deal with it. That's gone. Hospitalization? Well, isn't that a core part of healthcare? Nope, now you pay for it. Oh, for Christ's sake. This is the Republican proposal. But good, you know what, Republicans, go for it, go for it. Brag about this to the whole country about how wonderful your health care plan is. I encourage it. Conservatives believe those people would then go into so-called high-risk pools for coverage. But the effect would still likely lead to people who need health care the most, paying the most, or not being able to afford coverage at all. Now, how do we know this? They say, oh, the high-risk pools. We know what's going on, and we're going to put a little bit more money into the high-risk pools. You're in a high-risk pool, you'll be fine. Really? Well, we had high-risk pools. How'd that turn out? A majority of the states ran high-risk pools before the Affordable Care Act, and the pools were notorious for high premiums and deductibles, along with annual or lifetime limits on coverage. Now, that doesn't get talked about enough, lifetime limits on coverage. That used to be in the bad old days before the Affordable Care Act, before Obamacare, where, oh, you have cancer. Oh, that's a shame. You know, the lifetime limit on your coverage was $200,000, $400,000, whatever it was. And now your chemo has cost more than that. So go ahead and die. What, are you kidding me? But I need to get more chemo. All right, then you pay a couple hundred. I don't have a couple hundred thousand dollars. That's why I bought insurance. Ha ha. Sorry, we gave you totally crappy insurance and the government let us. Sad day for you. You can't afford to bankrupt your entire company, perhaps, and oftentimes, by the way, they do bankrupt their companies, small businesses, then bankrupt your entire family, then lose your house, then if you still can't afford it, go ahead and die. Alan Greyson got a lot of heat when he said that when discussing the Republican proposals. But that's what this is. If there's a lifetime cap and you have a serious condition and you go over the lifetime cap and you don't have any money, you know what happens to you? You die. It's not a hyperbole. That's life. That's how it works. That's why we have insurance so we don't die. But now they're going to rip that out. Okay. Now, why is Mike Pence on the graphic and not Donald Trump? First of all, Donald Trump is not leading the proceedings. He couldn't lead himself out of a wet paper bag. Okay, of course, he's out golfing. The guy running the show is Mike Pence. And the Republicans will later, if Trump leaves office prematurely, will blame all of these things on Donald Trump. No. This is the core of the Republican Party. This is who they are, and they're doing it right now. So let me tell you who's in the meetings. Those lawmakers met with Vice President Mike Pence, Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney, and Andrew Bremberg, the Director of White House Domestic Policy. This is the core of the Republican establishment. They don't care if you get sick. That's your problem, not their problem. They're already rich. So now let's go to the head of the Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows. He's the one insisting on more draconian cuts to Obamacare, wants to eviscerate it completely, and this is as close to evisceration as you can get. And they say, but Representative Meadows, what about the people who are sick and won't be able to afford coverage or who have pre-existing conditions? So many of us have pre-existing conditions. By the way, the healthcare companies now and your employers are looking to have access to your DNA, force you to give over your DNA to your companies. And if it turns out they can see in your DNA that you will at a later date have a condition, boom, pre-existing condition, you're all screwed. Okay, so when asked, Mark Meadows says, the fundamental idea here is that marginally sick people would pay the risk associated with their coverage. In other words, screw you. If you're sick, you gotta pay up. If you can't pay up, you gotta die. Republican 101. So when you vote Republican, don't pretend now that you don't know what this party's about. This party is about me, Ayn Rand kind of thinking. And if I'm healthy, great. Of course, until it happens to them. And that's what happens so often. It's happening with so many of the Trump voters now. Well, I didn't know that it was going to apply to me. I didn't know my husband was going to get deported. I didn't know that I was going to get stuck on the wrong side of the border wall. I didn't know that he was going to cut Meals on Wheels. I use Meals on Wheels. And soon there will be millions of them going, I didn't know I was going to get sick. And that when I got sick, I couldn't afford the coverage. I didn't know he was going to bankrupt my family. I didn't know that I was going to die. Well, I'm telling you, and now you know. And they're telling you. Listen to Mark Meadows. He says, well, if you're sick, you gotta pay up, and if you can't afford it, sad day for you, you shouldn't have voted Republican. It is a sick, barbaric party. It doesn't care about us, it doesn't care about community, it doesn't care about citizens. All it cares about is money, what's in it for me? And if I got rich donors who make me rich, I don't have to worry about healthcare. That's your problem, not my problem. That's the Republican Party, Young Turks. All right, guys, I don't have a lot of time. I got a lot of stuff to get to. We're back on the Young Turks, obviously. So I'm going to just read one tweet and then a bunch of names, and then I got to go. Dana Fairbanks says, I wonder if the GOP will permit insurance companies to treat being female as a pre-existing condition again. The answer is probably yes. I mean, when it comes to maternity care and all those other issues. And it's not, that's quite literal. So now I want to thank the folks that are donating to our journalism drive. $27 from Rodrigo from Maryland, $50 from Carolina in Switzerland, and $127 from Allie in Arizona. I love you guys. That's at tytnetwork.com/go. All right, now let me tell you, look, the policy stuff is overall more important. But whether this guy, Donald Trump, is going to stay in office for 4 years is probably going to be determined by this next story. So it doesn't get any more important than that. Let me tell you what it is. Okay. Hold on 1 second here. Let me get the exact right name for you guys here. Okay. Washington Post has an amazing story about an amazing meeting in Seychelles Island that happened between Eric Prince, who is the founder of the company that used to be called Blackwater. They got in a lot of legal trouble here in the US and had to actually move to the Gulf. And Russian representatives and Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. Now, UAE was involved in this meeting as well. So this happened in a very clandestine way, and apparently Eric Prince representing Donald Trump's interests. So the details are very, very important. And what the Washington Post did not mention, I will tell you at the end as to why this story is even bigger than people realize. In fact, this could be everything. So I'll explain. First, let's go to the Post. The United Arab Emirates arranged a secret meeting in January between Blackwater founder Eric Prince and a Russian close to President Vladimir Putin as part of an apparent effort to establish a back channel line of communication between Moscow, President-elect Donald Trump, according to US, European, and Arab officials. So they have very good sourcing on this. There was, by the way, two different princes at the meeting, Eric Prince and the Abu Dhabi Prince. Prince was an avid supporter of Trump, Eric Prince that is. After the Republican convention, he contributed $250,000 to Trump's campaign, the National Party, and a pro-Trump super PAC led by GOP mega donor Rebecca Mercer, records show. He has ties to people in Trump's circle, including Stephen Bannon, now serving as president's chief strategist and senior counselor. Get a load of this. Prince's sister, Betsy DeVos, serves as education secretary in the Trump administration, and Prince was seen in the Trump transition offices in New York in December. This meeting winds up happening in January. So everybody's going to get something out of this meeting. We already know what the Eric Prince's family got out of it. They got a cabinet post. Betsy DeVos is now education secretary. Now, that's not the only thing that they might have gotten out of it. Eric Prince has a lot of financial interests in our military spending. He used to benefit greatly from our military spending and the largesse and of our Pentagon budget, and he looks forward to doing so again. He's also got hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts for setting up paramilitary units inside the UAE. So UAE, which is basically a dictatorship, Eric Prince helps those dictators remain in power by crushing any kind of opposition. What a swell guy. Okay. And then he goes on to complain about terrorists and how they're fascist. You're the one setting up paramilitary units and helping dictators. Okay, now the Russian part of this is, of course, very interesting and probably the most relevant part for us. We'll get to that. So the Washington Post continues to explain. Current and former US officials said that while Prince refrained from playing a direct role in the Trump transition, his name surfaced so frequently in internal discussions that he seemed to function as an outside advisor whose opinions were valued on a range of issues, including plans for overhauling the US intelligence community. God help us all. He appears to have particularly close ties to Bannon, appearing multiple times on the Breitbart satellite radio program and website that Bannon ran before joining the Trump campaign. So now, if the Trump guys needed someone to run a paramilitary outfit inside the United States, well, now they have their guy. Okay, so we'll have to worry about that beast later, because more to the point of this story is what in the world happened in that meeting in Seychelles? And you don't go to Seychelles in the middle of nowhere if you're not looking to have a very, very secret meeting about probably the most sensitive materials you could have. You can have the meeting almost anywhere if it's not about something you desperately want to keep secret. Okay. The Seychelles meeting came after separate private discussions in New York involving high-ranking representatives of Trump with both Moscow and the Emirates. The White House has acknowledged that Michael T. Flynn, Trump's original national security advisor, and Trump advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner met with the Russian ambassador to the United States, Sergei Kislyak, in late November or early December in New York. Okay, so they have these high-level meetings with the Russians, and then all of a sudden, meeting materializes in Seychelles across the globe. Now, that is not on the records that we don't know about, or that we just found out about because of the Washington Post report. Well, as they explained, the level of discretion surrounding the Seychelles meeting seems extraordinary, given the frequency with which senior Trump advisors, including Flynn and Kushner, had interacted with Russian officials in the United States, including at the high-profile Trump Tower in New York. So if they were not overly careful about those meetings, why go to these lengths to go to Seychelles? What were they discussing? Now, the Washington Post talks about how the UAE has an interest in fighting against Iran. Now, the Russians are largely helping Iran in Syria. And so there's some speculation that the meeting is about, hey, can we flip the Russians to help fight against Iran? What do the Russians get out of that? That is never explained. Now, my guess is that it is not about any Iranian deal, and if it was, well, the UAE must be significantly disappointed, and perhaps that's why we find out about this in the first place, because the Russians have continued to help Iran, and now Donald Trump was helping the Russians in Syria accomplish their objectives, which helps the Iranian-backed government of Bashar al-Assad. So if the UAE thought the deal was about Iran, they appear to be mistaken. So what was it really about? Well, now I'm going to go to a different story that I shared with you that I told you was super important when I gave it to you. It was about a server for the Trump Organization, a computer server, in the middle of Pennsylvania, in a small town. And some of the top experts in cybersecurity in the world noticed that that server was getting messages mysteriously, almost exclusively, but not exclusively, from one source. That was from a Russian bank called Alpha Bank. Now, they can't tell because they're just looking at things that are public in cyberspace. Now, you and I can't see it, but they're cybersecurity experts. Trusted on all sides, very long story that CNN actually did a wonderful job with in that case about that. And they noticed, they don't know what's in the messages, but they noticed that Alpha Bank in Russia is communicating with that Russia, with the Trump server in Pennsylvania. Obviously set up in the middle of Pennsylvania so that it doesn't attract attention, it's not in Trump Tower, it's not anywhere else. But what I told you at the end of that story is, yes, that's very, very interesting and it might be indicative of something going on. But I said the key is in the second biggest communications that that Trump server had. So 80% of the communications came from Alpha Bank. The Trump people's explanation for it was comical. Maybe it was accidental spam that happened to be going to that server. 80% of all of the communication was from a Russian bank accidentally? Come on. No rational human being can believe that. But again, I said it depends. Well, what's the second biggest chunk? Well, 18% of the communication was from another organization, from one organization. It was from Spectrum. I thought that was curious. Now, if Spectrum turns out to be a random entity, well, then we got nothing. Maybe it was spam. But it turns out Spectrum is not random. From that story from CNN, Spectrum is a medical facility chain led by Dick DeVos, the husband of Betsy DeVos, who was appointed by Trump as US Education Secretary. And they explained together, Alpha Bank and Spectrum accounted for 99% of the lookups to that Trump server in Pennsylvania. So let me get this right. Eric Prince does a secret meeting with the Russians in Seychelles Islands. And at the same time, we've got Russian banks and the other part of the DeVos family that Eric Prince is part of, pinging this Trump server in the middle of Pennsylvania. And you think those things are not connected? I got news for you. They are significantly connected. Now, the question that could change history, and I'm not using hyperbole here, I mean it literally, is can they prove it? Now, based on this evidence, my very significant guess is that Trump did a financial deal with the Russians. If you want someone dirty who doesn't mind getting into those weeds and doing that deal for you in secret, who would you pick if you were an extreme right winger? You'd pick the guy who started Blackwater. And what does he want? Well, he wants a lot of government contracts, and he wants his sister to be the education secretary. What do the Russians want? The Russians want the sanctions lifted that cost them $500 billion deal with ExxonMobil. So they want the sanctions lifted. They want the American president to badmouth NATO. They want the American president to let them do whatever they want in Syria, and to not complain if they have aggressive military and foreign policy. Well, the sanctions haven't been lifted yet, but they've gotten everything else that they wanted. And are the sanctions going to be lifted? I mean, the deal that they care most about, the $500 billion deal, was with ExxonMobil. Well, who would lift the sanctions? Oh, right, our Secretary of State would. Who's our Secretary of State? Oh, right, the former CEO of ExxonMobil. There's a deal, guys. It is the most obvious thing in the world. You don't put Rex Tillerson out of nowhere to be the Secretary of State unless you made this deal. So the Russians will get the sanctions lifted. That is what they get out of the deal. The DeVos and the princes got what they need. What does Trump get? Whoa, that's a really interesting question. If you think just the presidency, you don't know Trump at all. What he cares about is the money. So him being elected president, it's nice. But what is it going to lead to? Is it going to lead to more cash? That's what he cares about. So this part I do not know. And right now, with the evidence we have in public, it is very hard to know. Was it to take care of some loans that he had with the Russians? We know that he did get loans from the Russians. Now, we don't know the degree of those loans because he won't release his tax returns. And he funneled them through Deutsche Bank, and he had it in the same part of the bank that was called the Global Laundromat. And guess who else had money in that same part of Deutsche Bank? Russian oligarchs. What another amazing coincidence. Was it to help them launder the money? Was it to get rid of old debts? Was it to get a part of Rosneft? That's the largest oil company in Russia that just sold 19% of itself to mysterious owners, some of which they have revealed and some of which they haven't. There's 25% of that sale that the Russian government says, we're not going to tell you who bought it, and deal with it. Does that include Donald Trump? That's the stuff we don't know yet. But if they're going to get him on this, and I think all of this, if you're a reasonable human being, leads to the conclusion that none of it is a coincidence. It is almost certainly tied, and I think it is very fair assumption to say that it was actually a financial deal, not just to get him to be president, which, by the way, of course, would be treason. Now, there's a long way from here to there, and you've got to prove it. And if you don't prove it, Steve Bannon, Eric Prince, and Donald Trump stay in power, and God knows what they do. What kind of organization do they set up here in America? What do they do to their political enemies? And if you're going to build a case against the president of the United States of America, you're going to need a couple of smoking guns. One alone probably won't do it. So let's hope they were sloppy. Let's hope that Donald Trump is as stupid as I think he is, and that you could trace the financial transactions. If you can, they're in a world of trouble. If you can't, the rest of us are in a world of trouble. That's how important this story is. Okay. I have one more Russian connection for you guys, because it wasn't enough, right? There's a guy named Carter Page, and I've been telling you all along that he is relevant to the Trump-Russian connection. And he is a guy that used to work with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump knows what he's about. He works in the energy field, and he works closely with the Russians. Now we find out through BuzzFeed, and Carter Page himself has verified it, that he worked very, very closely with the Russians, including with Russian agents. Whoa, this is interesting. So, former campaign advisor for Donald Trump, as BuzzFeed explains, met with and passed documents to a Russian intelligence operative in New York City in 2013. The advisor, Carter Page, met with a Russian intelligence operative named Viktor Porubny, who was later charged by the US government alongside two others for acting as unregistered agents of a foreign government. The charges filed in January 2015 came after federal investigators busted a Russian spy ring that was seeking information on US sanctions, as well as efforts to develop alternative energy, and Page is an energy consultant. So he's directly working with Russian agents, and you're going to find out the comical details of that in a second. And it's because the Russians want the sanctions lifted. So same sanctions that I've been talking about for a long time now, including the $500 billion deal that they've got with ExxonMobil that was blocked because of those sanctions. So the Russians are desperate to get those sanctions lifted, so they reach out to a guy like Carter Page. Now, that happened back in 2013. I'm going to tell you the relevance to it in a second, but first let's find out more about it. It remains unclear how connected Page was to the Trump campaign. He rose to prominence seemingly out of nowhere last summer, touted by then candidate Trump as one of his foreign policy advisors. Page was quickly cut from the Trump team following reports that federal investigators were probing his ties to Russian officials. So the story isn't that, hey, I mean, what a wild coincidence. It turns out a guy that was working for Trump on his campaign, at least as an informal advisor, happened to be working with Russian foreign agents and spies back in 2013. What I'm telling you is that that's not an accident and it's not a coincidence. I mean, look at all the coincidences where they all happen to be working with the Russians. They weren't all working with the Norwegians or the French or the Chinese, you name it. All these advisors all connected to the Russians, Manafort, Flynn, Sessions, Kushner, Carter Page, now Eric Prince, all connected to the Russians. Now, do I know that Trump knew that Carter Page worked with Russian spies back in 2013? No, I don't know that. Did someone in the Trump administration know how close Carter Page was to the Russians and hire him because of that, not despite that? My answer to that is likely. So let's find out who brought Carter Page into the Trump administration, and you might begin to have your link to the Russians. So now let's get to the comical part. So the agents, the Russian agents here in America, the Russian spies, wrote about Carter Page later and how they took advantage of him and how stupid they thought he was. Oh, this is good. So now again, we proved that these guys were spies, and this particular guy who wrote this ran from the country. He had diplomatic immunity, and as soon as he was charged, along with one guy, one Russian was not, did not have immunity, and he went to prison in America. Okay, this guy runs and heads back to Moscow as soon as he's discovered, but we get this email in the meanwhile. They explain in the email, mail one, which is Carter Page, wrote that he is sorry he went to Moscow and forgot to check his inbox, but he wants to meet when he gets back. I think he's an idiot and forgot who I am. He got hooked on Gazprom, thinking that if they have a project, that's a Russian oil company, he could rise up, and I promised him a lot. This is intelligence method to cheat. How else to work with foreigners? You promise a favor for a favor, you get the documents from him, and then tell him to go fuck himself. Probably the same exact thing they're going to do to Donald Trump at some point. This is the game that they played on Carter Page. And he's so greedy for the energy deals in Russia that he's like, yes, 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 here's the documents. I'll give it to you, you Russian spies, no problem. Okay. Now, US government court filing here is quoted by BuzzFeed. And that court filing says, a dossier compiled by former MI6 agent Christopher Steele used to brief then President Obama, then President-elect Trump, and Gang of Eight congressional leaders in January, cited a Kremlin official as saying that the Kremlin had sought a relationship with certain figures in the US, including Page, and had indirectly funded some of their visits to Russia. Now, that dossier that BuzzFeed ran at some point, everybody made fun of it. Honestly, I had trouble believing it because some parts of it were so outlandish. And people overfocused on, of course, which is what they do every time, on the sexual stuff. That's the one that had with the Donald Trump hiring hookers to pee on the bed that Obama was in. Okay, who cares about that? Even if that's true, it's irrelevant. What matters is the financial deals that these guys are making. And in that document, they explain, hey, by the way, the Russians are working with Page. And at the time, people were like, oh, that dossier, that's not true because of the peeing, obviously, and that's ridiculous. So ignore Carter Page. It turns out you shouldn't have ignored Carter Page. Carter Page has now verified he is male one. Yes, he either wittingly or unwittingly worked with Russian spies and gave them documents. Oops. Now he admits all that. Then he says, I love this quote that he came out with today. He said, well, quote, I didn't want to be a spy. Well, I'm beginning to think the Russians were right about what an idiot he is. And then of course he adds afterwards, oh, by the way, I'm not a spy. I'm not a spy. It kind of sounds like you kind of were. You claim you didn't want to be, but you did work with the Russians, and now even you admit that. This was a Trump advisor. What the hell was he advising him on? And did Trump listen to him? And what were the deals that were made? That is enormously important. All right, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, away from Russia, back to national policy issues, and again, how draconian the Republicans are. We'll explain when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me dive right back into the stories. So this is a story about how Donald Trump and the Republicans are looking to rob you blind, especially if you live in the West, as you'll see in certain particular states. It's about coal and how they're going to give your coal away. So let me explain. The Interior Department said on Monday that it is scrapping an Obama-era rule aimed at ensuring that coal companies don't shortchange taxpayers on huge volumes of coal extracted from public lands. Okay, so Associated Press reporting this is they're proud to do this. They declare it up and down, saying yes, we are doing deregulation. Now wait a minute. This particular regulation says that it's coal on public land. It's our coal, American taxpayers' coal. So we want to make sure that you're not ripping us off. And I'll explain the particular scam that they've been running in a second. So that regulation sounds pretty good, the one where we don't get ripped off. The Trump team goes, no. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Because as Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, says, this is about, quote, energy independence. It's what makes us strong. Really, is it about that? Let's find out more. Associated Press explains, Monday's actions repeals an Obama-era change aimed at ensuring that coal companies don't shortchange taxpayers on coal sales to Asia and other markets. Coal exports surge over the past decade, even as domestic sales decline. Wait a minute, I thought this was about energy independence. It turns out they're taking the coal and mainly selling it to other countries. So what does that have to do with our energy independence? Nothing. So this is private companies that take coal from public land, our land, American citizens, and some of the time, as you're about to see here, they would rip us off through this little scam that they ran and sell it at a much greater price, not inside the country, but outside the country. It has nothing to do with our energy independence. It just has to do with them paying us less money for our coal. So let me explain. Rules in place since the 1980s have allowed companies to sell their fuel to affiliates and pay royalties to the government on that price, then turn around and sell the coal at higher price, often overseas. Well, isn't that a nice little scam? So let me break it down with you, for you with an example. You have Acme Company. They make a deal with the government. They say, okay, let me take your public land and take the coal out of there, and I'm going to sell it to another company, and I'm going to give you some of the profits from that. I'm going to sell it to Acme Junior, which is a subsidiary of theirs, for a dollar. So I'm going to give you some of the proceeds from that dollar. Now you think, okay, look, they're taking the coal from public land, but they're giving us some money for it, and it's a percentage of the profits. That makes sense, right? That's how it's set up. But the part they don't tell you is that Acme Junior then takes the coal that they bought for a dollar and sells it for $10 in China or in other parts of the world. So the actual profit they made is the $9, which they didn't share with the American people. That's a way they have of scamming you so that they make more money off of your coal. Now we know they're doing that. So after all of these decades of running that scam, finally the Obama government was like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should stop ripping off the American people. So I'm not going to let you sell it to Acme Junior and then sell it to the Chinese. What we're going to do is take the final sales price, and we're going to do our percentage or our proceeds to the American taxpayer based on that number. Trump comes in and goes, no, I like being robbed. Not Trump himself, of course. It's his friends who are doing the robbing. So he says, no, the coal companies, go back to highway robbery. Rob the American taxpayer all you want. So, hey, I'm getting rid of deregulation. Didn't I tell you getting rid of regulations? Didn't I tell you that deregulation was the answer? What is regulations? Regulations are just simply laws. So what they're saying here is, let's take the laws away. Rule of law, no, we don't want that. You know who doesn't want the rule of law? Robbers. And what does selling the coal overseas have anything to do with their so-called excuse of energy independence for America? Nothing but a total and obvious lie. Okay, one last part from AP here. Conservationists criticized the Trump administration's move, calling it a sweetheart deal for the industry that will deprive states of much needed revenues. About half the coal royalties collected by the federal government is dispersed to states including Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico. So if you live in those states, you got robbed even more, because it was your coal, they took it from you, and they paid you a small fraction of the royalties they were supposed to pay for the coal, and they did it wide out in the open, and now you elected Republicans. By the way, almost all of those states, or at least a majority of those states, voted for Donald Trump and the Republicans and said, here, take our money, we don't need it. Revenue back to the states so that you can get education for your kids, so you can get health care, so you can get all the things that you need at your state level. You're not going to get it because the coal companies wanted to run a scam and the Republicans let them. It's wide out in the open. So go read the Associated Press for yourself. Go read anything you want on it. You don't have to trust me on it. If you live in those states and the whole country, because this is all public land, they're taking from us and giving to their donors. Drain the swamp. They are the goddamn swamp. Okay, last story for you in the first hour. Now we go to police reform, or the lack thereof. Jeff Sessions, Justice Department, or perhaps Injustice Department, has a new policy in place. And they've decided, you know, all those orders from the previous Justice Department where they told the local police that they were going to monitor them to see if there was any wrongdoings. And it turns out that in Missouri and Baltimore and so many other places, Chicago, they found plenty of wrongdoing. They found discrimination, police abuse, etc. Now, a lot of those places welcomed it and said, all right, good, we want to serve our community. And the local police department said, that's great, thank you for your help, we want to help reform what we're doing here. Now Sessions comes in and goes, nah, we didn't mean it, who cares? You're discriminating, you're doing X, Y, and Z wrong, you're doing abuse, don't care, keep on doing it. I'm going to withdraw all these. Okay, they explain in the new memo that managing non-federal law enforcement agencies is, quote, not the responsibility of the federal government. In other words, you want some kind of oversight to make sure that you find out wrongdoing? We're not going to give you that oversight. Have at it, Hoss. Do whatever you want. And if the local prosecutor is your buddy that you work with every day and he's going to let you off the hook, great. He's going to let you off the hook. Beat up anyone you like. Do any kind of abuse you like. There's going to be no federal oversight. Have at it, Hoss. Okay, part two. This is in the memo supporting what they call supporting federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement. Okay. They say the misdeeds of individual bad actors should not impugn or undermine the legitimate and honorable work that law enforcement officers and agencies perform in keeping American communities safe. In other words, we're going to say it's just a few bad apples, even though every time the Justice Department, the professionals at this Justice Department looked into it, they found out, no, it was systemic. It was not just a few bad apples. Now the Trump administration comes in and goes, cover it up, who cares? Don't tell them about systematic stuff. Few bad apples. Are you going to help them catch the bad apples? No, we ain't got nothing to do with it. So if you want to encourage your few bad apples or a lot of bad apples at the local level, have at it, Hoss, because now there's no cops on the street at the federal level. Okay, one of the reasons they state for doing this is to promote officer safety and morale. You see, the cops, they lose all morale, the corrupt ones that were uncovered by the earlier Justice Department findings. They lose all morale if they can't kick the crap out of someone or they can't violate their rights. Ugh, what a bummer. So luckily, Sessions is in charge and Trump is in charge. Now it's going to be back to cracking heads, etc. Now, look, I'm going to give you specific examples of that in a second. They explained further, in seeking to comply with Sessions' memo, Justice Department lawyers sought Monday to delay a hearing on the ongoing case in Baltimore. Now, so they're saying, hey, Baltimore, we found all these abuses, pause on fixing them. They're literally telling them, don't fix them for now. Now, we'll see if they come back and go, oh, okay, fine, we won't do any more, but go ahead and fix these at least. But for now, they're like, no, I know the abuses. We just had the abuses in a giant report that I'm going to tell you about, but don't fix them. Okay, so what is it? This is Kristen Clark, that's the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law. And she explains what was in that original Justice Department report. In a 163-page report, the Justice Department laid out extensive evidence of unconstitutional policing practices, including unlawful stops, searches, and arrests, racial disparities in the rates of stops, searches, and arrests, and use of excessive force. The mayor, the community, and the police department all support reform, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions is the obstacle standing in the way. This administration is making clear its intent to delay and obstruct federal civil rights enforcement across our country. So they found in Baltimore that they were discriminating racially. They had the numbers, they had the facts, it's in a 163-page report. Sessions goes, and? Oh, keep on doing it. They're about to stop them. And by the way, the unlawful stops, that's unconstitutional. It doesn't matter who you do it to. You can't do these unconstitutional activities from the guys who claim that they care so much about the Constitution. It's like, we found unconstitutional acts. Keep on doing it, brother, who cares? And then excessive force, it's Trump time, baby. So don't pretend you don't know who the Republicans are. This is who they are. Where they find injustice, they don't fight it, they encourage it. In this case, it is quite literal. There is a report from the Justice Department saying there is great injustice in Baltimore, let alone all the other places that we have investigated. And now Sessions is saying, cut it out. I don't want to hear about injustice. I don't want to fix injustice. Injustice to them is not the problem, it's the solution. That's who these Republicans are. Okay, when we come back, we'll lighten it up a little bit by basically saying to Trump voters, did that go out? Okay, all right. So why Trump has made some Americans Mexican again, I will explain that. and they're pretty pissed about it, even if they voted for him. And then the single most unpopular thing Donald Trump has ever done, I don't know that you know what the answer is, but based on the polling, it is very clear, and even Republicans are super pissed about it. We'll explain that when we return.